Well, hello everyone, and welcome back, of course, to the Research Talks podcast here from Stopbox with Alan Green and Dan Flynn. So a pretty quiet week, I think, generally on the markets. I've not noticed much moving on my list this week. The only thing I sort of noticed is a bit of volatility in the oil price and the gold price, and a little bit in the Bitcoin maybe. That's the only thing I'm noticing really, but I'm liking the fact that gold is kind of pulled back a bit because it's a good time to get a bit more. And I'm also liking the fact that oil's up a bit more as well, because I hold some oil stocks, which would be nice to see them benefit from the increased oil price. But I don't see much else that's worthy of note, really. I mean, Alan, how about you?
It's been a quiet week, Mark. Yeah, I think we've obviously seen the new Burnham government launch its manifesto, and I quite like what they're doing. They're just throwing out their sort of tax saving and a benefit every day, and they're just trickling the stuff out. But that's, it, you know, obviously that didn't really impact the market. But I did note something that somebody said, I think it was Charles Archer, looked at the new cabinet and said there isn't an ounce of commercial experience between anyone on the new cabinet, which is slightly concerning for business, but nonetheless. One other thing I did notice was that an AI company, its AI went rogue and started shutting stuff down. So they had to
I read that this morning. that was OpenAI, wasn't it?
OpenAI. So that they had to pull the plug, which is slightly concerning. But of course, you know, all of us have seen the Terminator 2 movie where Skynet becomes self-aware on a certain date. So I guess that was going to happen at some point. But anyway, apart from that, quiet week. My portfolio is still looking good. It's still pushing its highs. So good to see.
Good. Dan, anything from you?
No, just to echo, I think it's been a little bit quiet. I mean, like you say, Bitcoin's pulled back a little bit, but it's around 65K, so it's not, it's up on the whole, I think, for the week, actually, saying that. I just mean over the last couple of days, gold's staying above 4,000, so that's what we like to see. And looking forward to hearing your chat with Rick Rule, Mark. I know you spoke recently because he remains bullish for the longer term. I mean that is just the reality, isn't it? We are in the summer, markets are volatile, so I don't think every week's going to be the most exciting one. But I think you said earlier, we want to, this is the time to be adding to things, isn't it? It's make the most of it.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, a company that did have some good news this week is our feature piece, which is, of course, Arcle Resources. And I did speak to Rory, the CEO there, earlier in the week. And of course, that was some quite good news regarding the Stone Park Zinc project there with Group 11. The best intercepts ever, I think, since they started on the project in 2017. But Dan, you've got the investment case to talk to us about. We are hoping to also speak to Group 11 at some point, Bart, because they can talk a bit more in detail, because it is them that really operate it, and Arcle will have just have a percentage ownership there, but of course benefit from potential upside. But yeah, talk us through Arcle then, Dan, as a whole, because it's not just a Stone Park thing, and that is something that they benefit from, as I say, almost passively. But they've not just got that; they've got, of course, other projects as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Arcle's one I wanted to come back to today, because, you know, this is a company that's already had a strong year, but I still don't think the market has fully woken up to what's happening. I think the share price is up around 82% year to date, but even after that, Arcle's only valued at around £11.6 million. And for that valuation, like you were saying, investors are getting exposure to two really meaningful discovery stories. There's Stone Park in Ireland and also uranium in Namibia. So Namibia is the part of the business Arcle is more directly driving, but I want to start with Stone Park because that's where this news we were talking about came from this week. So Stone Park is Arcle's zinc-led project in County Limerick in Ireland. Arcle holds an estimated 21.4% interest, with Group 11, who you mentioned, Mark, acting as operator and majority owner. The project already hosts an inferred resource of 5.1 million tonnes, grading 11.3% combined zinc and lead, and it sits directly next to Glencore's much larger Palace Green zinc-lead deposit. So the strategic question has always been whether Stone Park is part of a much bigger regional-based metal system. And this week's update goes some way to starting to answer that. Group 11 drilled a step-out hole 550 meters from the closest edge of the existing Stone Park resource in previously untested ground. And the result was strong. The hole hit 14.7 meters at 2% combined with zinc and lead, including 2.8 meters at 8.3% zinc and lead. And within that, just under a meter of 21.7%. So Group 11 described it as the most significant progress at Stone Park since it acquired the license block in 2017. But I don't think it's just the grade that's significant here. It's also the location, because this was outside the existing resource. So it's a meaningful step out. And according to Arkell and Group 11, it drastically improves the potential for resource growth in that area. I mean, when you spoke to Rory, Mark, after the news, he said that he made the same point. He said the key thing was the distance from the existing resource and that the result gives Group 11 plenty of room for follow-up. That's important for Arkell holders because Arkell gets meaningful exposure to that upside without really having to contribute much. Doesn't have to run or fund the whole program itself. It just has that position. So, you know, there's the normal caveats. Stone Park isn't operated by Arkell. Further drilling is needed. And, you know, one good hole doesn't necessarily speak to long-term potential. It's just an encouraging indicator. But I think this result should really remind the market that Stone Park could have huge strategic value. And a Hannam and Partners research note from last month underlies this, valuing Arkell's interest in Stone Park at around $21.7 million. That's already more than Arkell's entire market cap. So even before we get to Namibia, there's a strong argument the market is not giving Arkell full credit for what it owns. So yeah, moving on to the uranium story, this is the more direct Arkell-led part of the business, and it's moving forward quickly. In January, Arkell acquired an 85% interest in four uranium licenses in Namibia's Erongo region. These cover around 540 square kilometers and sit next to or along trend from major uranium assets, including Rossing, Trekker P, and Marenica. Sorry for the pronunciations there. I doubt they're correct. So Namibia is one of the world's key uranium jurisdictions, and Arkell is testing two mineralization styles known in that district. The first is paleochannel hosted uranium, similar to that at Trekopia Marenica. The second is uranium hosted in leucogranite, which is similar to the broader Erongo Alaskite uranium province. But a key point is that Arkell is no longer just mapping, it's drilling. Earlier this month, the company confirmed its maiden RC program on license EPL 8995 was underway. And as of that 17th of July update, 52 holes had been completed for just over 1,000 meters. Any assume that more has been done now. So slightly technical point, carnotite, which is a secondary uranium mineral, had been visually logged in drill chips in three holes across two fence lines. That doesn't tell us grade, laboratory assays are still needed, but it's an encouraging early sign. And because the rig and field team were already mobilized, Arkell decided to expand the program even further. That includes more drilling on the western paleo channel target, step out holes on the eastern paleo channel target, and a first drill test at the primary ULG target. So there's a lot of words there, but basically Arkell is now testing both of its main uranium target styles in a single field season. That's a big step forward. So first assays are expected in early September, and alongside that, there's trench and surface sample results still to come. So the second half of the year should bring steady news flow. That's the investment case really now. Arkell has two big opportunities. Stone Park's just delivered its most important drilling result in the year. Namibia is now being drilled with early visual signs and assays on the way, but the company's still valued at just £11.6 million. So that Hannam note put a 1.79p initiation target valuation on Arkell, which represents 145% upside from where it's trading today, around 0.75p. So, you know, I'm not going to say that the market's definitely going to get there, but it does show how much value could be sitting in the portfolio if either Stone Park or Namibia continues to deliver. So for me, Arkell remains one to watch closely, and I am continuing to hold through the rest of the summer to see what happens.
Good. Yep. Excellent. Well, it's a nice little turnaround story, as we've talked about before, with Rory taking the helm here. And I think that Stone Park news only just adding to the potential here at Arkell. So thank you, Dan, for talking to us about that. So Alan, over to you then. Something a little bit different. Zoo Digital, I know we've talked about them before, but they've just had some results, I think, or they're due some very soon.
Well, they've just provided a trading update, and we are in the run-up to the full year results announcement on Thursday. So it's very much an inflection point for the company. But Zoo Digital is listed on AIM. Share prices trade as high as 17p or near as low as 8.5p. And it's currently just off that now at 10p. Now, there was a big blip in the shares in February. People who sort of listened to my sort of rundown of Zoo last time might remember that, and this affected several other companies, that, of course, the Hollywood writers' strike had created industry-wide disruption, and it had resulted in a lot of new programs being made and distribution programs all being delayed. So there's a big knock-on effect in results and everything else. And in a trading update in February this year, the company announced that that it had seen the industry starting to return to normal, and that resulted in a big blip in the share price, since which point the share price has drifted back down to just around 10p where we are today. So Zoo Digital, what do? So the company is trusted by the biggest names in entertainment to provide localization and media services and distribute content around the world. It provides dubbing services, subtitling, so for programs produced, say, in the States, or if it's a Netflix program, it'll be seamlessly dubbed and distributed to the channel that is buying the content. And Zoo provides the platform on which all this is done. Audio post-production, scripting, and other services, and it utilizes a series of its own branded technology assets: Zoo Sign, Zoo Studio, Zoo Scripts, dubs and subs, and it provides content solutions and creation and creative platforms to all the major providers. It's the preferred fulfillment vendor for Amazon. So Amazon uses Zoo Digital to distribute its content throughout the world. And, of course, with AI increasingly relevant in everything we do nowadays, the company published an AI white paper last year called Beyond the AI Revolution, The Future of Media Localization. And it stated in that paper that the market is very much moving in Zoo's direction. In other words, the content and the platforms that Zoo has are ideally placed to utilize this. So in terms of how that's impacted on the company, after that announcement at the trading update in February, where we saw the share price blip upwards, it's drifted back, as I say, to 10p. In a trading update that was published a short while ago, the company said it expects to earn adjusted EBITDA of at least $3.8 million, in line with expectations. Revenue's down from last year. It was $49 million last year, $42.3 million this year. It's got more cash now than last year, $3.2 million versus $2.7 million, and it has drawn borrowings and of $1.1 million, which is drawn against invoice financing. Headroom has increased to $5 million from $3 million, and there's also a $2 million UK facility as well. Now, the chief executive said in this statement that they're seeing improved trading against a background of stable market conditions. So that stability has returned to the market. And it says Zoo is now a robust, efficient business with a right-sized cost base capable of generating improved profitability, well-positioned to grow revenues and deliver sustained profitability. It also delivered $7.7 million in annualized fixed cost savings last year. So it's got the cost base right. It's revenue generative. EBITDA is improved. Revenues have improved. More cash at the bank. There have also been some new board appointments to strengthen the case of the company. Gillian Wilmot stepped down as chairperson. She was replaced by Natalie Schwartz. And also the board appointed Alan Newman, formerly of Ubiquity YouGov, KPMG, and Ernst & Young. Alan has very much a media and tech background, and he's been appointed as non-exec director with expertise on the financial side of the business. He's also been appointed to the audit committee to help rebuild the company. So, in summary, I think we're reaching an interesting inflection point. You know, Zoo are very much the go-to company for content distribution for the major providers. Obviously, having being a preferred distributor for Amazon, that's a big tick in the box and a big feather in the cap. And I think with these results next Thursday, I think that's going to further sort of solidify where the company is. And I'm also expecting to hear about current trading, seeing how things have built up since the trading update in April. So yeah, in summary, looking good, and I think we're going to see a lot more progress, perhaps back to those year highs of 17p before the end of 2026.
Okay. Good. Nice to get your thoughts on that, Alan. Thank you very much. So Dan, over to you then. Talon, we spoke about them before not so long ago. I think both of us have interviewed them. New company onto London, but of course, Ontario-focused exploration. So I think you spoke to them this week, didn't you?
I did, yeah, absolutely. So like you say, Talon is one I covered a few weeks back, but I wanted to come back to it fairly quickly because the company is already doing exactly what you want to see from it. New listing. It's moving. It's listed on AIM in June. It started field work almost immediately. And this week it reported the first results from its phase one exploration program at Eagle Lake. I think that's worth noting. I mean, this is still an early stage gold explorer. There's no resource yet. There's no drilling yet, but Talon has come to market with a clear plan. And so far it's executing that plan quickly. Meanwhile, I get from an investor perspective, the share price has also held up pretty well. I mean, despite a choppy market, it has remained above its IPO price. And with a current market cap of around £7.5 million, the last time I looked, there's still very significant upsides if the next phase of work delivers. So let's just quickly recap the story. Talon's first asset is the Eagle Lake Gold Project in Ontario, Canada, like you said. It owns 90% of the project. It covers just under 20 square kilometers in the Dryden Gold District. That location is a big part of the appeal because Ontario is a tier one mining jurisdiction, like we all know, and Eagle Lake sits in the Wabagoon sub-province, which is an Archean greenstone belt prospective for structurally controlled gold. So the wider Dryden District is seeing a lot more attention. There's active staking, exploration, and investment from groups backed by larger gold companies. So you know, Talon's not exploring in a silo here. It's in a district the market is starting to take seriously. The project itself has always had an interesting setup. Historic work identified multiple gold-bearing zones, surface samples reporting up to 204 grams per ton gold, which is pretty decent. But the project as a whole remains very underexplored. Only 26 historic drill holes have been completed, and none went deeper than 155 meters. The basic opportunity, I think, is pretty simple. High-grade gold has been seen at surface, but the system itself has barely been tested at depth. And that's what Talon is now changing. This week's update was a good first step, in my view. The phase one program confirmed gold mineralization across a number of priority targets. And in some cases, we even saw visible gold, which is a very strong sign. So just to reel off some figures, panel sampling at East Fourniery Bay returned 1.85 meters at 7.17 grams per ton gold. Another channel at East Fourniery Bay returned 4.8 meters at 4.47 grams per ton. At Cedar Trench, another area, Talon returned 5.7 meters at 1.6 grams per ton. And finally, grab sampling at an area called Parker Shear returned up to 32.9 grams per ton gold. So these are still surface results, but they do confirm gold across several targets. And importantly, they give Talon more confidence ahead of maiden drilling. The other interesting point was a new target called Moss Knoll. So this appears to sit between the two existing main areas, which are Fourniery Bay and Parker Shear. And it returned 8 meters at 0.67 grams gold. When I spoke to CEO Alex, this was what I felt that he was most excited about. the grades I mentioned just then, they're pretty decent. But what Talon wants to show is a more coherent minerized system over meaningful strike. Moss Knoll potentially helps tie parts of the project together. That's why the next steps matter. Talon will now integrate the new results with the historic data and feed that into Minimal's machine learning assisted targeting platform, Minimal being the firm's AI partner. The aim is to refine drill targets before the maiden drill program in Q4. And that drilling will be the major catalyst, and it's only a couple of months away. So the first program is expected to be around 1,000 meters as part of a broader planned 2,000 meter campaign. It will test whether the gold seen at the surface that we've been talking about continues at depth. And that's the real question here. If drilling confirms depth continuity, then Talon could quickly become a much more serious discovery story. And that could have a great impact on the valuation. But for now, I like the setup. Talon is listed, it's held above IPO price, it's moved quickly on the ground, confirmed high-grade gold across a number of targets. It's got a new prospect that ties things together. And it's on track for drilling in just a couple of months' time. So around £7.5 million. That really does give investors a lot of leverage to the drill bit. You know, of course, it's high risk. We don't know what the drill's going to actually return. But for now, Talon's doing what it said it would do. And if the drilling delivers, then the upside from here could be very meaningful. And these are the sort of stocks that I think is good to have in your pocket in the portfolio, because when they pop, they do move a lot. And that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. But it's nice to know that they'll be drilling, yeah, in Q4. That's really good. We can look forward to that. Do you get a sense of, I don't know how confident they are or what they want to achieve from it. He said it was a test, wasn't it? It was a test of what the model is saying. So I suppose, that's good enough as anything, isn't it, to test what the AI is suggesting might be there.
Absolutely. I think they are quite confident, perhaps quietly confident. You wouldn't want to go into something like this, say, we're going to make this enormous discovery. Because everyone knows that you can't do that. But I think, you know, based on everything that's in their control at the moment, it looks great. It's a great project. They've got a clear plan that they're delivering on. The early results are good. As for the AI, we were just talking before, weren't we? Seems to be a bit of a trend now in the space that we cover, that AI is being integrated into exploration. So, in theory, it should be an enormously powerful tool. It recognizes patterns, and exploration is all about patterns. So, in a couple of years' time, we'll know how well the AI in exploration trend has developed, if it's still being used everywhere. But for now, I can totally see the logic in integrating it. And I'm interested in seeing what that delivers, but what I'm really interested in here is the drilling. That's always what you want to see, and that's always a good thing to position ahead of when it comes to investing in exploration stocks, particularly when you're taking the first tranche. So the fact that they're delivering and they're moving quickly and they've got the funding from the IPO and they haven't collapsed after IPO, which is obvious. These are all massive in the box for me.
I guess the next step is to take that AI model, and then you'll start a project, use AI to map the gold out and identify the patterns, as you say, Dan, and then tokenize the whole lot so it never gets mined. But you've just used AI and then you tokenized everything and created value that way. That's the next step down the road.
That's the future. That's what they'll be doing in a few years. Everyone went. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dan. Good to get a sense of where they are. So, Alan, finishes off then with Billington Holdings, please.
Okay, we've spoken about Billington on several occasions. Billington Holdings, of course, is AIM listed. It's in steel, which might sound counterintuitive, but we've seen 0.7% GDP growth in the UK this year, so I think the market is reasonably healthy. Billington owns a number of companies. Billington Structures, which is one of the UK's leading steelwork contractors with 75 years experience. There's a company called Easy Edge, which builds innovative safety barriers, edge barriers, and so on. Hoardit, which produce environmentally sustainable and reasonable hoardings for building sites and branded perimeters. Marshall Steel Stairs, which does what the name implies. It builds engineered steelwork and staircases and balustrades. A steel service and processing centre, and also a specialist coatings company to protect the steel once it's actually in place and constructed. The company's delivered steady growth. A number of major shareholders that are supporting the group. In April this year, the company announced a solid set of results. The share price has also done very well too. And like the Zoo Digital, the company is also in the run-up to issuing its interim results next week. So again, we're reaching an inflection point. But unlike the Zoo Digital share price chart, this is very much a case of top right-hand corner stuff. So from October last year, where I believe we started talking about the company, the share price has risen from 270p all the way through to 415p where it is today. And indeed, we saw a blip a few days ago on some news, which I'll come to in a second. So the company's got a valuation of 55 million currently. In April, the full year results revealed the company had generated revenues of just under 96 million, down from 113 million previously. EBITDA of 6 million and a pre-tax profits of 1.3 million compared to higher. But the company had also consolidated a lot of its operations over the past year and cut costs. And I think this is what the market has responded so positively to, which is why we're seeing investors supporting the company. It also paid a dividend with the results too, a dividend of 11p. The board said that it was a robust performance against challenging backdrop and pricing pressures. And of course, like so many companies, the company was all at the mercy of the Donald Trump tariff system, so that's been an additional challenge too. But the company's debt-free, strong cash balances, good visibility going forward. Last week we saw the share price blip up to from 4p or 400p to 415p with the announcement of three new contract wins. Now the contract wins total getting on for £28 million pounds sterling, which is a chunky addition to the revenue the company is currently turning over. It won a contract win in the education sector in Northwest London that was worth about £6 million. An energy from waste contract using waste to generate energy and obviously a very solid carbon neutral project in Eastern England that was valued at 12 million. And then a contract in the defence sector in Southeast England, which is valued at 10 million. The company also reported a very healthy pipeline of new project opportunities across key sectors. And it was engaged in a lot of work in regard to structural steel solutions, which of course is the company's core business. And the board said that provided further confidence for delivering 2027 in line with market expectations. Now, as I say, we're reaching that inflection point. We have the interim results announcement due next week, along with that of Zoo Digital. So I expect to see some price action from these companies. It may be, of course, that with the strong share price performance from Billington, there may be a period of consolidation and profit taking, as there often is after the interims. But nonetheless, the signs are good. The company's got its cost base right down, which is usually important in this day and age. And with an industry like that has inherently high cost base, it's important to see those cuts being made. So looking forward, I think there's every possibility that Billington are going to push on and continue to grow the business and deliver both share price gains and dividends for shareholders.
Good. That's what I'd like to hear. That's what I'd like to hear. Share price gains and dividends for shareholders.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you both. Yeah, the right thing. Exactly. Thank you very much, Dan and Alan, for your time. We're definitely into August next week, so the quietest month of the year for the markets. But let's see what happens and see what next week brings, if anything interesting. Enjoy your weekends, both.
Indeed. Have a good weekend, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
If you enjoyed this interview, then give us a thumbs up, a like, or a retweet. Subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us on Twitter and hit that notification bell to be the first to know when we release new content. There's loads of great content on our website too, across all our programs at stockboxmedia.com. Thank you for watching.